I'm going to go ahead and do some announcements. We're experiencing technical difficulties. We had a mishap, so we're going to go ahead and get that fixed. So everybody doing well?
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. Welcome to Haven Community Church. I'm Jack. You're not? Okay. And so we want to welcome all our visitors. If you're visiting today, we just want to welcome you. Hopefully you received a gift when you came in. And we just hope that you'll go ahead and fill out the card and go ahead and respond. And we're just glad that you're here. A couple other things here. We now have, how many of you have ever put on the, let me take this off real quick. I feel like I'm separated from you. How many of you have ever downloaded the Haven app? Anyone? Okay, there is a new one now. That's a new one, a new improved app for iOS and for Android, et cetera, et cetera. It's now available. You can see it here, Apple Store and Google Play, and they're going to allow live broadcast, archive videos, and many, many other things for mobile devices. Also, some people can join in right now, and you go ahead, and I believe you look for The Haven Community Church. Is that right, Jim? Haven Community Church. You look up, it'll come up. You click on it, and you can download it. Takes no time. It really looks good. There's going to be lots of different things that are going on there. All right? A couple other things that we have is a family tech night, which is the 31st, which, gosh, believe it or not, that's going to be soon, right? That's crazy. So if you want to learn more about technology, we talked about the internet, like, you know, locking that down for your kids and other kinds of things, and understanding what goes on there. I know Wayne and Justin are going to go ahead and touch about that.
What time?
Wayne, what time? Probably 6:30. Does that work? 6:30.
Okay.
The 31st.
Okay.
I gave you that.
So. I was downloading the app. I didn't...
Okay, I'm sorry. You can check the app for calendar stuff too, right? There you go. Isn't that awesome? You can get push notifications. It's a wonderful thing. So you don't have to remember anything anymore. All right, today, do we have a Haven's Helping Hands meeting, Jill?
Yes.
Okay, right after church in Classroom A, which is which side? That side. All right, Classroom A. Supporting our soldiers, you have the insert and those who are deployed. We want to go ahead and do that. We've always wanted to support our the soldiers and people in our family. Jim Thompson is currently deployed. He may be watching now, may not be, may watch later. So if you want to help with care packages, you can go ahead and you can write on a sheet in your bulletin, add that in, just a note. If you'd like to go ahead, you have some interest, some things on the insert that you can go ahead and give to help out as a care package, or if you'd like to donate money, we will go ahead and take that and get some of these items for the care package. And you can see Bob or Connie Hoffman. Where's Bob right there? There's Bob, so you can see him as well, or you can connect with him. Parish Foundation is next week. How we doing? All right, several opportunities, as we like to say. So there's several areas to sign up. We'd love for you to go ahead and get an opportunity to go ahead and sign up there as well. Also, April the 5th, we have our annual free Narcan training. It's there, so we want you to go ahead and contact, you can contact Shelley Bordley if you're interested. We've done this several times to go ahead and connect to be able to help with Narcan. We know that not only in our county, but around the United States, there is a tremendously horrific drug issue, particularly with heroin and other kinds of things, and we want to go ahead and do everything that we can to make a difference in those areas. All right? How we doing? We good?
Let's find out.
We're going to find out. All right. So everybody cross your fingers, pray, hope, do a dance. Whatever else. Also, remember those on the prayer list as well that we have there. We will lift them up. Do we have anyone to add or update to our prayer list right now? We'll go ahead and take care of some of those. Anyone out in the crowd that we need to lift up? I do want to lift up the family of Danny Evans. Danny passed away last Sunday, right before we had the fundraiser for him, and many people did show up. I had never seen Naughty Goose packed so much, but it was great. They raised lots of money for his family. Also, we want to lift up Ray Caldwell. As I mentioned, his wife Barb passed away. We had her memorial service and her service of life on Friday. Okay? So we want to go ahead and lift those in prayer. Also, here are some here. Traveling today through Tuesday, Jill will be traveling. Joanna Shea asking for prayers For Donna, a coworker who has brain surgery on Tuesday. Jenna also asked for prayers for Donnie and Jackie. He's home, and pray for his strength for good choices. Lisa asked for prayers for her and for peace, and God knows why. Are there anybody else that we need to add or update to our prayer list? Anyone? Wayne's guitar. All right, I want to know who prayed for snow. Okay,
it won't be as cool.
Okay, we'll meet you outside. We have a special thing for you outside and back after church. For going ahead, we good?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can do a piano. It won't be as cool, but.
Oh, really? It's not working?
Yeah.
All right. God makes a change. All right, so let's just lift those and everything else up in prayers. All right. Lord God, we just come to you today. We thank you for who you are and for what you do in our lives. And God, when all else fails, we know you are still God, and we love you. Be with us this day as we celebrate who you are and who we are to you. And as we go to this last day of the Big Dog sermon series, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, so imagine this is my guitar now. All right, let's stand it up. We're going to sing it. I am free. 1, 2, 3, 4. I want to run, I want to hide. I'm not afraid. Through you the price is paid. Through you there's victory. Through you my soul sings, I am free. Yes, I am free. Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free. Blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you our hearts will pray, through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free.
I'm free.
I am free to run. I am free today.
I am free today.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free today.
Yeah, only Wayne can have his guitar break and then make it sound that good. So. All right, Wayne, you got anything on your mind?
Yeah, what was my word last week?
Hubris.
Hubris. All right. Remember that word, everybody? It works this week, too, because, you know, we talk about, you know, how hubris is like the opposite of humility. It's like one of those words that just has a lot of power behind it, you know. We talk about, you know, God flooded the earth last week with big dog Noah, and then I think the people's hubris came back again, so he had to send down his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. So, you know, and I think it always exists in us because we're human beings and we're always going to have that. But you just remember, you know, when you're full of yourself and full of pride, remember, you know, that's not what God wants. God wants your humility. He wants, it's okay to be confident. That's not hubris. You can be confident, but if you're arrogant, go to Jesus. We all remember that, right? Because our God is greater, our God is stronger. Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the dark
darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you.
Sing it out.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Ever stop us, and if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Greater, stronger than any other God. You are healer, you are awesome. God, our God, our God, our God, our God.
Our redemption, heaven's there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Rise up, church.
There's an army rising up.
For those who are watching online right now, that you are here, you came and you lived and you died. And we're going to talk about that today, God, as we take a lap with you, that you break every chain. No matter whatever stronghold, all strongholds have to fall in the name of Jesus. You are our healer, our redeemer, almighty God. And so, God, as we continue this service right now, we just give you praise in who you are. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name, the name that is greater than all other names. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask that everybody just have a seat right now, okay? All right, we're going to go ahead at our time right now and do our new members. We're going to go ahead and ask them to come up. I'm going to ask Debbie DeVirgilio, our lay leader, to come on up and help out with this. And so I'm going to just call them in sort of random names, I guess. And if you do, I'll just come up and make your way across here in the light, and we may even raise it up a little bit. But I'm going to ask if Karen Adams is here. Is Karen here? I know she's been dealing with some sickness lately. So Karen and Steve. Is Steve here? All right. Okay. Ron, Frederick, come up. Mary, register. Come on up. You can stand down over there by Debbie. Michelle Kipp. Roger Kipp. Scott Walters? Scott here? Oh, he's watching. Hi, Scott. Everybody say hi, Scott. He's working today. So everybody say hi, Scott. Okay, all right. And Heather and her dance man. All right. Okay. All right. So we want to go ahead and lift people up. What we usually do, for anybody who doesn't know, what we usually do is names mean something in the scripture, right? Names do, and so we believe names are significant. And so what I like to do is when we bring somebody in new as members is I like to give you a little bit about their name and usually a scripture lesson. And sometimes it's very, very hard. I'll let you know I have to be very creative for this, and this is good. So, all right, in case Karen and them are watching online, we want to go ahead and lift up Karen. Karen means pure. And the verse from that is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. So we want to go ahead and lift that up with Karen. For her husband, Steve. Steve means crown, okay? And then I found from James chapter 1, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. That's what we all want, right? The crown of life when we get to see Jesus in heaven that the Lord has promised to those who love him. All right, Ron, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, do you know what your name means? Okay, you're going to like this. It means like ruling counsel. Okay, so that means you have good counsel. All right? So if anybody has any problems, Ron's the one to see. Okay? And what it says here in Psalm, I found two verses for you. Psalm 16:7 says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. My heart instructs me from him. And then Psalm 73:24, you guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you take me into glory. I know we've gotten to know each other through Disciple Bible studies, and Ron always says something, and it's got a lot of thought behind it. And so I know, and sometimes has a lots of humor too, most of the time. But one of the things that's really awesome is I know that he trusts in God to give him counsel. And so Ron, welcome. We love you, buddy. Thanks for being here. Okay. All right, Mary, do you know what your name means? Okay, it has two meanings. All right, of the sea and bitter. Maybe because he's giving you all this counsel. All right, so, but anyway, Mary is a major voice, a major name in the scriptures. And one of the things that, the verse that I used here, what had nothing to do, I looked at some for the sea and I could have made them work, you know, that he takes our sins and separates them as far as all that stuff. I could have done that, but what I did is I went to this one. And it said, Mary went to the disciples with the good news. I have seen the Lord. And she told them all these things that he had said to her. One of the coolest things is the first person to see Jesus after was Mary Magdalene. And it was somebody who was very, very close to him. And she was the first evangelist of the resurrection. And so my hope is that that's what you will be throughout your life, continually be a witness of the resurrection of Christ in your life. All right? Thank you. All right. Michelle. Anybody heard her? Okay, just saying, okay. I've known Michelle for 400 years, Michelle is definitely very gifted in music and just her spirit. And what's awesome is your name is the same thing as Michael, which your name is a question, and it is, who is like God? And the verse that I found was from Psalm 35, which says, my whole being will exclaim, who is like you, O Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, and the poor and needy from those who rob them. And so I think I've known you for a long time, but I know that when you sing and when you're just your presence always shows the glory of God and that your connection with him. So welcome. We're glad that you're here. All right. Roger, how you doing, brother?
Good.
All right. So Roger is the other half of the Kipp family, Roger Kipp, and I've known you for about 400 years as well, right? Okay. And you know what your name means? Famous spear.
That's cool. I like it.
I thought it was pretty cool, too. All right. And so what I found for you was from Job chapter 3, verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weakling say, I am strong. And what this verse is, it's about a battle. And we just had, that we sang here, that there's an army that's rising up. And in case you don't know and look around the world, we need an army of God. You know, for years the church went through and took out songs like Onward Christian Soldiers because it was too militant. We are in a spiritual battle and we need to get more militant for God, okay? So beat that plowshare to a sword and go with it. Michelle will be singing all the way and you can just go ahead and use that. But we're glad that you're a warrior for God and you've come here. Welcome. All right. How you doing? This is Scott. He's shrunk a little bit. So we're going to go ahead and share Scott. Scott, how you doing? It means person from Scotland. And in case you don't know, there's no verse in the Bible about Scotland. Okay, I just want to let you know. Maybe King James, I'm not sure. But Scotland, ready for this one? Has kind of like hills and mountains. You like that? Okay, and so I will lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you, and you will not slumber. And from Psalm 121. And so I know Scott is a strong guy, and these two actually came to church after they saw me in a Superman costume. So, right? I walked up, and I said, hi, I'm Jack. I'm the pastor. And they gave me a look like, really? Okay. All right. But I love them dearly, and they keep help populate the church. We're proud of that. So, but we're glad for that. And Scott, God bless you. We're glad that you're here. And it says, he will not let your foot slip. And I know when we're doing that mud run in a little bit, you're going to slip all over the place, but I'm going to hide behind you. All right, Heather, here we go. Heather, do you know what your name means?
Flower.
Yeah, it's a flower. It's the heather plant. Okay? And you know what I found out? You know what I found out about the heather plant? It goes ahead and has 150,000 seeds per year. Isn't that cool? Okay. all right? Okay, so pun not intended, okay? However, what I found was this verse from the scripture. It says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God, Jesus talked about the sower in this, and how we're not supposed to go and say, oh, that's the only individual I want to find. I want that person to come to know. You know, sometimes we do that. But he said, the sower's just throwing seed out. Going ahead and saying, hey, I want you to know about God. And he said, that is the gospel. Hey, I want everybody to know about God. And so it says, and his disciples didn't understand. It says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in their hearts. This is a seed along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word, once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. And so, Heather, I just know your personality. I love it. It's great. You're friends with that one over there, a couple of them over here. And so I know it's great, but I'm just so glad that after you saw me in a Superman costume, you still decided to come to church and be part of it. And we love you and love your family. And I believe that God's going to use you to just go ahead and share the gospel with everybody. All right? Love you. Okay. All right, I'd just like to say a quick prayer over everybody here, if you will. Lord God, I just thank you for these individuals who are not only just joining a church to sign up on something, but they're saying we want to connect and we want to live out our purpose in your church. And so, God, today I ask that you anoint all of them, those who may be sick or are working or whatever that aren't here today, that you will bring into them the gifts that you would have for them, that you can further your ministry here and around the world. And we love you, God, and we love each of them. And so I'm excited about the path forward. In Jesus' name we all pray. And everybody says, amen. All right, let's give them a hand. Debbie has some of that, I know. All right. Thank you, guys. All right, at this time we're going to go ahead and our children can head to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry if they would like to. We already went through several of the announcements right now, so we're going to go ahead and go to our offering time. Bye, Pop-Up. All right, I'm just going to go ahead and ask that we go ahead and pray for our offering today. Lord God, we come to you now with just a grateful heart, not only for all that you've given to us, but for just everything that occurs in our lives. The good, the bad, the ugly, you are there, God, and we love you. And sometimes we fail in following your word and your will. But God, you've been just so amazing to us. We have several people who we've lifted up on our prayer list earlier today. And we ask that you meet those needs for surgeries, for illnesses, whatever they may be, God, that you know them. For those in transitions in life, and for those of us who everything seems to be going fine, but there may be a storm brewing that we don't even know that's going to happen. God, we just ask that you reach out and touch our hearts and our minds, that you speak to us what we would have to say. And today, as we make this last lap around for this series, someone extremely special, may we recognize that it's all about you. It's your Holy Spirit driving and guiding us each and every day. That even in the midst of our struggles and trials, that we are blessed. And so, God, during this time now, we ask that as we give back to you, that you multiply and use these gifts to further your kingdom here and around the world. And that we may be the church that you would have us to be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
12:2-3 from the Message. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish, in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls.
Okay, say goodbye to the dog. He's gone for a while. All right. Bye, doggy. Okay. We are in our last week and part six of Running with the Big Dogs. And what we've been doing is taking Hebrews chapter 12, and particularly here is our main verse. Our main verse comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you missed any of these, by all means, check it out online at havencc.org, or you can go ahead and also download the new app and go ahead and have it on there as well. And so we definitely want to welcome our online viewers today as well. But let's look at our scripture lesson. You should know it pretty well. It starts off with therefore. And when you find therefore, you got to what? Find out what it's there for. And what is it there for? The beginning of this, the verse, the chapter before is from Hebrews chapter 11, and it is known as the Hall of Faith, or the Hall of Fame of Faith. And it tells about some really powerful, awesome founders or people who were witnesses and people who followed Christ. And they go through a list. By faith, they did this. And so it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And once again, it's awesome to know that they aren't that Jesus doesn't just say, oh, this is easy. This is easy. You guys should have this done. But that there's a lot that entangles us and weights us down in our race. And so we've got people in the stands basically cheering us on to go ahead and do this and continue on. And then it says, let us throw off everything. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And we have been taking different people in the Bible. A lot of them have been from Genesis, and a lot of them from the same family. And we've been taking them, and in a crowd, you often have crowd noise, right? Remember? Here we go. What does the crowd say? Right? Okay. Hopefully you brushed your teeth today. But the crowd yells, and you can't often hear what the crowd is doing. So we've been saying, what happens if we go ahead and have one of them come out of the stands and run around with us? And we've had Sarah, we've had Rebecca, we had Elisha, we've had Jacob. Last week, anybody know who you had? Noah. We had Noah. And today, we're going to talk about the biggest dog of them all. And honestly, if you just made a lap around with this one, you get everything you need. Okay? All you need. And but you know what I realized? We've never read any more of Hebrews chapter 12. And one thing I do want to share with you, for Easter's coming, about five more weeks. You believe that? Easter. Think about that while you're shoveling snow this week, okay? So Easter is coming, and on Easter we are going to launch a series. We'll have one more series in between there, but we're going to launch a church-wide series where we have some small groups, and it's called Hope Rising. And it's going to be a really, really awesome series called Hope Rising. If you're in the midst of another study group, or whatever, it is not taxing. It's very simplistic, and you'll meet. But I think it's one of the best concepts I've ever heard. And if anybody's been around for a while, do we need hope to rise in our community, in our world, and in our lives? And so we're going to talk about that as well. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. We've gone nowhere else, have we? We've gone nowhere else. So look at what it says. The race marked out for us. It ends, and then it says, "Keep your eyes on who." Jesus, there's our big dog today. How are my big dogs? There we go. Keep our eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. In other words, he can relate. He did this race. What does it say then? Study, everybody underline that, study how he did it. So we're going to look at how Jesus did it. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we're going to see how Jesus did this race. And by doing that, we're going to experience some awesome things that Jesus understands, and he knows how to get through this. And so we're going to study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside, or some scriptures say, at the right side of God. When you find yourself flagging, you know, you ever seen those people? You ever seen those? Anybody ever seen those, like, at car lots? Woo! Sometimes this is how we are in our faith. I'm a Christian. I'm strong in God. Woo! Oh, today I got a tough life. Oh, God. Oh, wait, here comes somebody asking about Jesus. Oh, right? Sometimes we're like that in our faith. Flagging your faith, go over the story again. What we're going to do is go over the story. that people said, that old story. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. We're going to talk about Jesus today in one of in the toughest point that he was ever in. And so we're going to tell that story again today, and we're going to go through that in a little different way. And then he says, go to that story again, item by item, that litany of hostility, and he did what? Plowed through. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about, Jesus plowing through. We're going to study how he did this, and it's going to give us some life lessons how to plow through. Because I would dare say that there are some people in here right now, some people watching right now, or there you may be somebody who just is existing right now, and you're ready to quit. You want to give up. You've had enough. I'm done. And if I'm honest with you, there have been times in my Christian journey, there have been times as a pastor where I've said, I'm not getting anything done. I'm not doing anything. God, get somebody else to do it. I'm done. I've had enough. Just put somebody else here. Give me a cubicle. I don't need to see anybody. I just want to sit here. Give me blinders and you know, I'll be like the monkeys, like here, like that. I don't need any of that. I'm done because I'm not accomplishing anything. Has anybody ever been that way in your life? Okay, great, because we're going to learn something from Jesus about how not to quit, but to keep on running the race. We've had that several times. And so what we're going to start with today is when you feel like giving up. When you feel like giving up, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I heard a song today. It's an old one I heard on the way here, and I haven't heard in years, and it was, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely what? Dim." You know, when we're focused on Jesus, all this other stuff doesn't seem to bother us when we look at that. So we are going to study how Jesus did it. And we're going to do that by talking about Good Friday, which is coming up in a couple weeks. It gets its name from Good Friday, which is God's Friday, and it wasn't good. And Jesus had every means and every ability to quit. And he should have quit, right? With the pain and stuff that he went through, it was the worst day that he had. So I'm figuring if we're going to go ahead and look at Jesus as an example, let's start with the worst day he had. Let's start with that day. That day that we don't need to look at just the best times of Jesus. Oh, wow, that's easy. Let's look at the worst time. Let's look at the time when he was betrayed by a good friend. Let's look at the time when he was beaten. Let's look at a time where he had a crown of thorns. And when I say beating, his flesh was ripped off his body. Let's look at where he was struck upon the head and spat upon as he carried a 75-pound to 100-pound cross on his bleeding back. Let's look at the time where he's nailed to a cross and had to pick himself up. They put him in a way so they could pick himself up, and he had to breathe, and he ultimately died from asphyxiation or suffocating in that. And there's a guy named Jack Hayford. Anybody ever heard of Pastor Jack Hayford? Jack Hayford wrote a book several years ago called How to Live Through a Bad Day. And what he did, he took the seven last words that Jesus gave. They're not all in one scripture. They're all over the Gospels. And he put them together in a list and said, this is how we get through our bad day. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to go through these briefly. Often pastors do this as a sermon series, and I may sometime next year. But I want to put them all together to remind us again how we get through those times of struggle. When we want to quit the race, what do we learn from Jesus? What are we going to learn from Jesus? And we're going to have these things, and hopefully you'll be able to apply these. And I'm going to tell you, if you apply one or two of these, you're going to keep on going. You're going to get a second wind in your race, and you're going to keep on going just a little bit more. Okay? So that sound good? That's where we're going. So how did Jesus do it? Let's look. Number one, forgive everyone who is trying to ruin your life. Now, do you ever feel like there's some people who just exist? Their whole entire purpose is to mess with you in life. How many know these people? Anybody? That they just want to, they say, okay, they may be coworkers and they just always have an angle, or you may be in like youth sports or youth something, and they're always competing with their kid with yours, and they're always trying to find out information to cut you out from the legs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or is this just me? Because I'm just a nice guy. Right? So we have these people that just always, they could be a family member. How many have a family member that is a little bit difficult to get along with because they always want to cut your legs out from under you and always want to make you look bad? Anybody? Okay, so this will fit. So here we are. They always try to tear you down and pull you down. One of the things that I'm gonna find is that about 80%, if I ask everybody to stand up right now, if you have this person, I would say about 80% of us, if we were honest, are dealing or have dealt with are dealing right now with a relational issue, a relational wound. And this keeps us from running a lot of times. We get so focused on the relational wound and all the stuff that causes that, that we don't get to run anymore. Now look at Jesus. Jesus is being mocked. He's being spit upon. He's being been beaten. And he's being nailed and killed on a cross in a crucifixion. He's going through all this. And yet here's the first thing that he says. If you did any of that to me, you would not love the unholy stuff that came out of my throat, my mouth to all of you if you did that to me, right? Anybody else there? Would you be saying, oh, great people, I love you? No, not me. All right? Listen, this is the first thing that Jesus says when he's on the cross. In Luke chapter 23, 34, he's been through all this stuff. He's been through betrayal. He's been beaten. They've stripped him down naked and put him on a cross. And here's what he says. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is hard. You may say right now, Jack, that's hard. Yes, it is. It's very difficult. But I'm going to tell you, if you have a relational issue, you won't keep running. You'll stop because you'll deal with that relational issue. You'll be so consumed by that, you won't want to keep going in the race that you have. And you know what I find? When you have a relational issue, you always look back. Have you ever seen like little kids when they're running and they run like this? I remember my nephew, Mason, when he was little, we were wrestling around with him, my brother-in-law and I, and he took off running, and he ran like this, and he ran right into the wall. And so many of us do that in life, don't we? We're so looking here that we can't get, it says, keep your eyes on who? Jesus. Okay, we keep our eyes on Jesus. That's where we get to the point that we need to be. But all this other stuff starts to distract us to a point that we end up hitting walls. And we end up stumbling. I should have probably put the video on there, but there's this great video. Anybody ever seen Hurdles? Done Hurdles? Okay. And there's this great video of this guy who is hurdling, and he falls over the first one. And he gets up, and he falls over the second one. And then he just has enough, and he just starts blasting through the hurdles. Blasting through them. And as he is, he's knocking other people over. Now, he's disqualified because of that, but he was like, I'm going to get there. He's hurt others, and that's what we do when we act like a bull in a china shop, when we go through this situation, when we don't forgive. Jesus thought it was so important to forgive others that he put it in the example prayer that he has for us. Forgive them their trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive me my trespasses. Forgive the wrongs that I've done. Oh, and as I have already forgiven those. It's a conditional thing. So every day we need to forgive. There's a pastor of probably the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea, who said this great statement. He said, every day I forgive so many people because I hate so many people. Isn't that awesome? I love that. He's my new buddy, even though he doesn't know me. Every day I forgive so many people because I hate so many people. There are so many people that are just not likable in our lives. That we have this. Matthew 16, 15, it's not up here. It says, Jesus said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men of their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. It's a conditional thing. Forgiveness is something that we are required to do. And let me tell you why. Forgiveness, number one, does not equal minimizing the offense. Number two, forgiveness is not just dismissing, oh, it didn't happen. It's no big deal. And I'm going to tell you, this is going to make you happy. Forgiveness is also not restoration. You know, sometimes in the church, we think that when we forgive somebody, that means they've got to be our best buddy. No. Chances are, if people have done enough to you, you don't want to even see them. But the reason why we forgive is because it frees us, not them. It's God's will to free you so that you have no debt, that you have nothing that you're there with. So some of you right now have heard this part and you're ready to go. You're ready, got that, Jack, forgiveness, I'm good. That'll keep me going around the lap a long other time. So keep that there, but we got more. Okay, we've got some more. In Luke chapter 23, we have verse 39. We're going to go to our next one. Our next one is this. Help others going through your same struggle. That's number two. So we have forgive everyone. Next one, we have help others who are going through the same struggle. In Luke chapter 23, we have Jesus who's being crucified, and he has two criminals on each side of him, correct? And here's what we have. So they're going through the same struggle. And here's what they said. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus, said, "Are you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him and said, "Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting our deeds deserved. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, the man could have said, "Hey, Jesus, remember me when you go into the kingdom." And Jesus could have said, "In case you don't realize, I got my own problems. Stick it. You pay attention to yourself. Right? You just said you should have been here. I'm here for no reason. But I am too busy right now with my own crucifixion to deal with yours." Right? But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said, no. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. This is why when we're going through our stuff, we need to invite people. Easter is a time to invite. I'm going to tell you, we're getting our next series is going to be God didn't and I can't. God didn't and I can't. And it's about belief. It's about, I really want to believe. But, you know, God didn't answer my prayer. God didn't do this. Why didn't God do that thing? You know, and it's about our expectations of who God is. It's a great time if you got somebody who says, "You know, I want to believe, but I don't believe." Bring them. Have them connect. Have them look online, whatever it is. Because we all go through these areas in our life, and we're going to spend the next 4 weeks dealing with why we struggle with this thing. Easter, we're going to talk about hope rising. And we've always said people need hope, and you know people in your life who need hope. Invite them, because I'm going to tell you, you never know the power of the Christian faith until you have somebody come with you, and you have somebody that you begin to invest in their lives, and they come to know Christ. You never, ever know the fullness of the Christian faith unless it happens. In Isaiah 58, it's not on the screen or your bulletin, but it says, "If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed," don't you love that? You spend yourself. "Then your light will rise in darkness and your night will become like the noonday." We need to bear with each other, particularly when we go through things. Misery loves company, but one of the reasons is because we can understand what people go through. We understand the struggles that exist when we're there. Number three, take care of those closest to you. Take care of those closest to you. You may say, "Jack, why are you talking about taking care of those closest to you?" Because I'm going to tell you something. This is no secret. On your worst days, the people who take the biggest brunt of it are the people who are close to you. Right? Do you agree with that? Like, how many of you, you're so nasty when it's your bad day? You're just nasty. Anybody? You're just nasty, nasty, nasty. And you can, so your spouse or your kids could have a good day, and you walk in and they go, "Hey, how are you?" "I am fine. What are you so stinking happy about? Get out of my face." Okay? Or you'll be in the midst of some kind of argument. And the phone rings. "Hello? Oh, yeah. Oh, sister, God bless you. Yeah, amen. Okay, yeah, we'll be praying for you. Okay, God bless. Bye-bye. And let me tell you something." Right? Does this relate to anybody? Or you have one of those meals where you're sitting down, you're like, and the waiter or waitress comes over. "What would you like?" "Hi, I'd like this, and I'd like that." And then give her dirt. Whatever. Somebody always said you hurt the ones you love. You do. You expect them to be there, and they are not your whipping post for everything. We should reverse that, shouldn't we? We should reverse that to a point that we are more loving to those ones that we have in a bad day. The ones close to us get all our crap. I remember I had a friend of mine who one time was helping someone. He had a farm, and a friend wanted fertilizer put on his lawn to help it. And the friend went ahead and was messing with him and went ahead and kicked it on high and was spraying fertilizer all over the guy's house. He's like, stop, and he was laughing. A lot of times that's what we do with each other, don't we? We just kick it all up on us all the time, and we have that. In John 19, here you have Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's watching her son She's watching her son die. Just stop for that second. Anybody who's a parent or anybody who understands, just love for anybody who you've lost. You're seeing someone, you're helpless to do anything. He's dying, and he's been on there dealing with this tragedy for a while. And the only person, the only disciple that we know that went to the cross with her was John. And Jesus, in the midst of this pain and suffering, looks down upon her. Now, many scholars believe that Joseph was dead somehow in there, and I believe that as well, because otherwise Jesus would not have said this. Being the oldest son, Jesus was responsible for his mother. And here he is on the cross, and he looks down from this cross, and he sees his mother, and he looks at John, and he says this in John chapter 19, "Dear woman, here is your son, here is your mother." In the midst of his tragedy and his suffering and the worst day that he's had on earth, he says, "Mom, you're taken care of. Take care of Mom." Where usually we would be hurling insults. "You should have got me down here. You should have got me a better attorney. We would have been saying all this stuff." Am I right? And we often blame those near to us than rather look after them when we're sitting here. On the worst day of life, Jesus is not dumping on them, but he's taking care of them. And you know, one of the things that we do, and how can we relate to that, Jack? Because many of us in our lives will give our best to our bosses and our worst to our spouses. Many of us will give more time to a client and no time to our children. And so we exist in this pattern in our lives where we give to somebody. You know what? I got to tell you something. There's no boss that's going to be there with you holding your hand when you're dying. There's nobody who, when you lose a family member, who's going to cry with you as much as those who love you and that your family. So don't beat them up. Take care of them. Look after them, even in the midst of your own suffering. Everybody good? Number four, as we go here. And this is good. We need to realize that this side of heaven, there are some things you will never understand. How many feel good about that one? This side of heaven, there are some things that you will never understand. And I got to tell you, over the last year, there have been a ton of things that I don't understand. A ton of things. And I don't like not understanding. Jack likes to know everything. I am the fountain of useless information. I know stuff that makes no hell of beans, but I know about it. And I don't know why. I just do. And so when you feel like giving up, I don't know about you, but in times when I feel like it's tragedy and I feel like giving up, I often ask this question. Why? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Why bother? God, I even say this for other people. Why is this happening to others? Why? Just in 2017, as we started the series, I talked about a good friend of mine and a mentor who died after 6 years of losing his memory. He was one of the keenest people I've ever known, Reverend Jim Jones. Makes no sense to me. He should not be going out like that. He should still be here with us. In our community, we have a 16-year-old, almost 16-year-old, who was killed in a senseless accident. Makes no sense. We have Ray, who I know who has been struggling in his own health, and he had to see and watch his wife die. Makes no sense. I could go on, and I could go around this room. And every one of us can talk about what makes absolutely no sense in this world. Are you with me? And I don't like it. I like to know what I'm talking about. But I look at Jesus. Jesus comforts us in this. Look at what he says here in Matthew 27, verse 46. My God, why have you forsaken me? Anybody been there? That in the tragedy and the brokenness of your heart, say, God, where are you? And in this next series, we're going to say, I want to believe, but come on. All right? Really, God? You know, I prayed so hard. My hands are hurting and my knees are bleeding. I fasted so much and still you didn't answer it. And I don't like it. And right now, I don't like you. How do we do with that? Jesus said, guess what? My God, why'd you leave me here? I don't like that at all. I don't like anything about that. We just don't understand. It's not fair. It makes no sense. So many years I've spent ministering to others in the world and others that were not in my family. But you know what? One of the things I've learned, and God always does the right thing. We don't know about it. We don't know what's going on. God doesn't cause all these things. And I can tell you that because when he saw Lazarus die, he wept. So this was not my intention. But guess what? I'm going to make good about it. Because I got to tell you something. Lazarus, he rose from the dead, but Lazarus is dead now. Do you know that? Lazarus died again. And so that's going to happen to all of us. And I don't understand why things happen. Some of the best people in my life that I've met have dealt with some of the biggest tragedies. But you know what happens? When we get caught up in the whys, it stops us from running and we start to look around. One of the coolest things that I found out about when the whys don't make sense is I've seen people, and I've had people from this very church, that we go back to the last one, that when you're going through the struggle, help somebody else. Sadly, I've known some people who have lost children, and they've come up to me and said, hey, get me the address of the person. I just, down the road, I want to talk to them. It still stinks. There's every single thing about your situation that is brutal. But we serve a God, the end is going to make it okay. Look at what it says in the verse that is one that's quoted at every wedding I've been to, just about. It says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. But then, when we get there, we shall see fully, even as we're fully known. You know, we're not even going to have, how many of you have a list of questions you want to ask God? Guess what's going to happen? Here's the coolest thing. You're going to walk into heaven, it's going to be, boom, now you know. And you're going to be like, don't need the question. Don't care. Isn't that awesome? You get everything at once. Isaiah 55:8 says this, and I don't like this verse at all, so that's why I'm sharing it with you. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. We need to realize that this side of heaven, we don't understand. Number five, we need to be honest and acknowledge our need. Often one of the things that I find out is people, when they're in the biggest need of their lives, often say, no, no, I'm okay. I don't need anything. No, no. Get away from me. And we isolate ourselves. We often keep ourselves isolated and we hide away. You know, I remember when I was going through a really big struggle. When I first went to Lewis, Delaware, I was kind of lost. I was just kind of dealing with a lot of frustration, a lot of things. And I remember I had friends who would call me, and I look at it and I go, no. Or if they did get hold of me, they'd say, how you doing? I'd say, fine. What are you doing? Nothing much. Just working. I'm okay. All right. Good talking to you. Bye. And they probably said, what's wrong with him? Anybody isolate yourselves? You just want to sit back and eat mud or worms or whatever the heck you eat? You want to go ahead and isolate yourself? We need people when we're together. Look at what Jesus did on the cross. Later, knowing that all was now complete and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said what? I'm thirsty. I need something. So they took a jar of wine vinegar that was there and they soaked it in a sponge and they put it on the stalk of a hyssop plant and they lifted it to Jesus. You know, so many times we are so self-sufficient that we forget that we need each other. 2016 was an interesting year because I went through, I don't know if pastors are supposed to tell you that they have struggles, but they do. At least this one does. A couple, like a billion, all right? But it was a time of year where a lot of people who I connected with, I got rejected by for one reason. It was a time where I was struggling with who I am and where God is leading me in the future, and I went through all that kind of stuff. And I can tell you that a lot of that helped is when I wanted to isolate myself, but what helped is when I found individuals. And I'm going to tell you, you need a church family. You need Christian people. You need people to bounce things off of. So, for instance, we got to stop doing this. We got to stop doing this thing. So how are you? And all hell's breaking loose. You say, I'm fine. How are you? We need somebody who says, how are you? Say, it just stinks and I hate life right now. How are you? Right? That's what we need. We need people to bounce that stuff off of. Because if you're like me, life is more non-rosy than it is rosy. And why do we keep acting like this? This is called haven for a place for people to come in with your mess. I want your mess. I want you to share your mess. If you are perfect, You're in the wrong place. This is to be a spiritual hospital for people who are broken and need the great physician. His name is Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I fall and stumble on my race. And that sometimes I don't want to go on, and I need somebody to help kick me in the butt and keep me going. I need that in my life, in order to go ahead. And you need it in your life. This is not a country club. It's a spiritual hospital. And sometimes you're thirsty, and sometimes you're hungry, and sometimes you're broken, and sometimes you're hurt. And that's okay. That's what we're here for. That's why we have a program called Stephen Ministry. That's why I have connection to people who are counselors. That's why I have a shoulder and others have a shoulder to cry on. And you got two so that two people can do it. That's what we're here for. But we got to get over ourselves and our own self-sufficiency. Number six. A lot of people believe this is the last one. But number six, there's always a purpose and an ending. How many are excited about that? That in the midst of your mess, there is always a purpose to it. God will always bring a purpose, and he always brings an end. It doesn't last forever. I had someone tell me one time, how many like anxiety? How many like anxiety? Well, we can try it out. I can come and stare about this close to your face and see how much you like, and preach the rest of the sermon. Right? I don't like anxiety. And when anxiety comes up here, I want to chop it out and move it away. But I had someone tell me, anxiety never stays here. It will eventually drop off. And you got to get a little bit comfortable with some of that stuff. Because guess what? In other words, it's not going to keep on going, 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 going. There's an ending to it. There's a purpose in this. You see, God has meaning in this. Look at what Jesus said here. He said, it is finished. He wasn't talking about his life. He was talking about the purpose that he came for was for you and me. That because sin separated us through his gift of his life, he brought us back together with the Father. He said, I did it. I did it. The purpose was done, and the crucifixion didn't continue on and on and on. There was an ending. And the cool thing about the ending of the crucifixion is that's the beginning of the resurrection. So in your life, as you're going through these bad days, when you're struggling with all this stuff, there's a purpose, and there's going to be an end to it. Just hang in there. Be still. Know God. Jesus conquered this grave, but he had to go through the crucifixion before he conquered the grave. This verse from 2 Corinthians I've used in funerals time and time again. I don't believe it's in your bulletin, but it's up here. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we don't fix our eyes on what is seen, for what is seen is only temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's why we keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes on Jesus, not only in death. This is a life verse that we need here. And that brings us to number seven, the last one, as our worship team comes up. I love this word, surrender. Surrender your life to God and put it in God's hand. Everybody do this. All right. Okay, if you're surrendering, like if I say, freeze, what do you do? Police officers go. All right. So, but you surrender. You ever seen little kids? Pick me up. They don't go. Pick me up. They go. And when you pass them to somebody else, what do? You sometimes, I believe, that we just need to say, I give up. I'm going to surrender this mess because I made enough mess of it. I'm surrendering it to you, God, and let him pick you up. And let him carry you to the next area that you need to be. You ever tried to pick up a screaming kid who's like, no, I don't want to go! No! And they're like flailing around, you tuck them on your hip, and you're like, come on. Right? God's not going to drag us around the track like this. He says, put your life in my hands. Put your life in my hands. Isn't it so easy? It's so easy, but so hard. Because we got it all together. Jesus did this and said this last thing. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Ultimately, whether you like it or not, At the end of the story, we're all in his hands. We're all in his hands. So why not live this life in the hands of the one who created you? In the hands of the one who can get you around the race. And don't just have a moment, because we're good at moments. When we have that tough time, we get in the moment, we say, okay, I'm going to put my life in your hands right now, God, because I messed this up. And then when things start to get a little bit better, what do? I got this, God. No, I ain't going there. No! Right? And then when we falls apart and we're back through it again, God, it's just easy just to say, I place my life in your hands. All this mess is yours. Take and do with it what you want. All right? We good? So this is our last lap around today. Message, stand up right now. We've had some of the giants of faith come and race with us. Hopefully, this series has been something that really encouraged you, because guess what? Look around you. Look to your right and look to your left. You are those who are running this race and coming out of the stands to help someone else. And so, God, right now, as we close our eyes and we're here today and we finish this series about running with the big dogs, if you're like me, some of us feel like sometimes, God, I feel like I'm a chihuahua. And I'm making a lot of noise and I'm making a lot of yelping, but I'm not getting anywhere. It's like I'm in the puppy bowl. But God, I have a great cloud of witnesses that's saying, come on, Jack. Come on, you got this. Look at me. And I'm encouraged, number one, God, that they are a mess. And every single one of them had a mess of a life. But when they finally did the last thing that you told us to do, into your hands I commit my spirit, my life. We know about how faithful they were, that they made it into the hall of faith. So God, may you find me faithful. May you find in my life something amazing, something broken that can be used by the potter. And so Lord, right now, as our Stephen ministers are up front and we open up this church right now for your Holy Spirit, come now, Lord Jesus. Fill our hearts. Fill our lives. And so, first, I have a feeling that somebody here today was saying, I'm giving up. I don't want to run this race anymore. I've had enough of it. Somebody else is saying, this doesn't make sense. And if this is the loving God that you have, I really want no parts of him. I don't want a God who does things and never answers prayers. And God, as we work through this over the next couple weeks, help us seek your face. And so right now, God, whoever here needs a touch from the Master, from the Holy Spirit, be with them, God. Strengthen them and encourage us in Jesus' mighty name, that we may finish the race. Amen. Am I capable?
Shined among us, his glory revealed.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified, freed me forever. saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day.
Lord God, we just praise you that we have a God who can relate to us, not one who just says, go and do this and do what I'm told, or else I'm going to part your hair with a lightning bolt. We have a God who has been here, who has suffered and died, and the scripture tells us no temptation beyond man and humanity did he not face, and he overcame them. He overcame it and overcame sin far away. And so God, right now, as we are here today, and we are your people, broken as we are, loving you as much as we do. God, as we push forward to this season that we call Easter and we get there, that we want to talk about hope rising. God, we recognize the greatest hope and rising is in you, in Jesus Christ. So God, as we leave here today, help us remember that there is a glorious day that's coming. That there was a day where sin was dark and it separated us from God. And then there was a day that was called Good Friday that we recognized where you suffered and it was your worst day. But you put your life in the hands of God the Father, and you rose again in victory, power, and might. And for all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. And God, that glorious day when that trumpet will sound, we cannot wait. Return, Lord Jesus, and as before the snow, we'll appreciate it even more. We love you, God. Help us to be more faithful in you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, have an awesome week in Jesus. Next week, he didn't, I can't. We'll start that. Bring somebody. Say hi to somebody.
It's to never worry for my life and to know you. It's to never give in.